Hello, I'm Allison Buttenheim, and like Jamie, I'm a demographer by training, and like Jamie, I live in Philadelphia, so I have to say, go Philadelphia! We're so close, Tuesday night. And of course, I'm going to be on a plane tonight when the game, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so I'm going to talk about whether social status predicts adult smoking and obesity, and I'm going to look at this in Mexico using results from the Mexican National Health Survey. It's joint work with Rebecca Wong at UTMB, Noreen Goldman, who's with me at Princeton, and Ann Pebley at UCLA. I have nothing to disclose. Has anyone had anything to disclose in this conference? Our work, this is part of a larger project, but this specific study had three goals. We wanted to estimate the social gradients in health behaviors in a nationally representative sample of Mexican adults, which has not been done before. We're also interested in comparing the independent associations of education and assets with health behaviors to see if these different aspects of socioeconomic status have different associations, and also to identify differences in gradients by gender and by health behavior. In this case, we're looking at smoking versus obesity. I realize obesity is not technically a health behavior, but here I'm using it to as sort of a proxy for diet and physical activity patterns. So the motivation, it's actually nice to be in a panel on social epidemiology where I don't actually have to justify why this is an interesting question. But if we think about the relationship between SES and health or SES and health behaviors, we know in developed countries that that relationship is overwhelmingly positive. As you move up the SES scale, almost however you're measuring it, we know that your health and your health behaviors improve. And we had Michael Marmot here to tell us more about that earlier in the week. In developing countries, we often see a reversed pattern, where as SES improves, actually health behaviors can worsen. And that's particularly the case with health behaviors that are innovative, where higher SES individuals may adopt those behaviors first, and in situations where those behaviors might be expensive, like smoking, where, again, higher education or higher income or higher wealth permits that behavior to happen. So if we take that perspective and look at Mexico, you can really not sure a priori what you might expect. Mexico is certainly undergoing a very rapid epidemiological transition and probably even more rapid nutritional transition. We see large increases in chronic disease burden, CVD, diabetes, cancers. And Mexico is in a pretty unique position given its exposure to U.S. culture and U.S. markets. Despite what Sarah Palin says about Russia, I think Mexico is a pretty unique case here, with very large migration streams and sort of exposure to the globalizing influences on things like food markets and labor markets. Our specific motivation for this project came from some findings that Noreen Goldman and colleagues came up with looking at U.S. data and looking at social gradients that found the SES health behavior relationship to be quite weak, to basically be flat for Mexican origin populations, whether they were foreign-born Mexican or U.S.-born Mexican. And not a lot of a priori arguments why that might be the case. So we thought we would take that question to Mexico and look what the gradients might be there. Our data are from the ENSA 2000, Mexico's National Health Survey. We have almost 40,000 adults between the ages of 20 and 69. Our outcome measures are current smoking, which is a self-report, and obesity, which it's nice in ENSA, we actually did have anthropometrists doing height and weight measurements, so that's a calculated BMI from measured height and weight. Our SES measures are education, which we categorize, and also a pretty conventional approach to doing a household asset scale. Households in the ENSA sample are asked about ownership of things like refrigerators, motorcycles, cars, TVs, and we create an asset scale that we divide into a low, medium, and high category. Obviously, there are SES, very important SES measures here that we don't have, like occupational status. We don't have a very good income measure. And there's nothing like a self-reported relative SES standing in this analysis. And our analysis also controls for age in decades, except for the last 19-year group, 20-year group. Just a brief look at the sample. If you look at the groups with relatively low education, relatively low household assets, the big difference you can see is between urban and rural populations. A little bit of gender difference, but not enormous. And obviously, the sort of mirror image at the high end of the SES scale. Obviously, the urban folks tend to be higher SES than rural. In terms of prevalence of our outcome measures, The big disparity in smoking is a gender difference in Mexico, with still much higher prevalence of smoking among men. Obesity, quite high across the board, but particularly among urban women. And interestingly, not a strong correlation between obesity and smoking. Those are pretty distinct behaviors. Our method is just a straightforward logistic regression, predicting the log odds of current smoking and obesity separately, different models. We also run separate models for the four different subpopulations that you saw in the descriptives. In terms of the SES measures, we were interested in entering them separately and then also in the same model to see if those independent associations hold. We control for age, and we use wall tests to look at the joint significance of education and asset categorical variables. To make interpretation a little bit easier, we also convert those log odds into predicted probabilities, and I'll show you some graphical representations of those. Now, to avoid showing you tons and tons of numbers, I've just sort of reported the results here substantively, qualitatively, and the interesting thing that I'm hoping you can focus on is how different each one of these grids is for the different populations and for the different behaviors and different genders. So for urban women, both educational attainment and household assets are associated with more smoking, and that's that holds in sort of gross models where education and assets are entered separately, and in net models where they're there together. Urban men, we already see what we consider sort of a developed country gradient where higher educational attainment is associated with less smoking. However, we don't see a significant asset association. Rural smoking essentially looks pretty much the same for rural women. For rural men, we see an interesting example here. This is the only example in which the gross effects are not significant. If we put just one SES measure in the model, we don't see a significant association. However, when they're both in there, we see the higher educational attainment is associated with less smoking, again, a sort of conventional developed world gradient, but that the assets are associated with more smoking. So you can see the sort of maybe self-efficacy or health behavior knowledge that comes with education allows for less smoking. However, the assets are still there to sort of purchase the tobacco. Thanks very much. In turning to obesity in the urban setting, here the women are exhibiting what we think of again as a conventional developed country gradient where higher educational attainment associated with less obesity. We don't see an asset effect that's significant. For men, it's exactly the reverse. Educational attainment is relatively flat, and household assets are still associated with more obesity. Our only non-monotonic relationship is found for educational attainment and obesity for rural women. It's an inverted U, and I'll show you a picture of that. For both men and women in the rural setting with obesity, the assets are associated with more obesity. So interestingly, I mean, each one of these grids of four outcomes is different for all of the populations we're looking at. Just to show you that graphically, I've just picked two here. For male smoking, we can see the education in both urban and rural areas. As education increases, smoking prevalence decreases. We see the positive association for assets with more assets, more smoking, and then the flat in the urban area. The second example is the female obesity that I mentioned, where we can see the non-monotonic, the inverted U for education in the rural area. But again, some positive, some negative slopes, some flat slopes. So our conclusions, certainly it seems to be the case that higher SES is not universally associated with better health behaviors in Mexico. We see a large variation. In some cases, education and income do have independent and even opposite relationships to health behaviors. This suggests to us that the current situation with the gradients and the future situation will shape how social disparities in health look in Mexico, certainly in urban versus rural areas, and for high versus low SES populations. Some policy issues we draw from this. It will be interesting to see how quickly smoking for women sort of flips to the, you know, later in the tobacco epidemic and what implications that might have for tobacco prevention and other tobacco control programs. Same thing for assets and obesity for men. The timing of that gradient flip will affect how we approach health promotion programs. And certainly the role of the regulatory environment in Mexico. The Framework Convention has not been implemented super rigorously there in terms of tobacco. Most of the food-related sort of food policy in Mexico that we've looked at is focused on undernutrition and making sure that undernourished children are fed. So there may need to be more regulatory work at the other end of the BMI scale. In terms of next steps for our research, we want to test what we're calling this imported gradients hypothesis, that the flat or weak gradients that we see in the U.S. among Mexican origin populations can be explained by the gradients we see in Mexico. And we're doing that analysis right now using ENSA and the NHIS. And that'll be presented at PAA in Detroit, if any of you will be there. And I'm also really interested in using longitudinal data for some more causality work, using the Mexico Family Life Survey, the MXFLS, to see how SES determinants determine the transition into obese status and into smoking for young adults in Mexico. Thank you. Yeah, are there any questions on this? Yes.
Actually, looking at education and income in the central region of Chile, mostly agriculture type of population, where we saw that education is has a protective effect against all cause mortality. This was a cohort followed for almost 10 years, actually. But income did not protect, by the contrary, it seemed to have a sort of slight. The richest quartile of that cohort had an income of about $10,000 per year. Mm-hmm. So, the importance of your study and I think of our study is that this STS position that are applicable to developed countries, they are very different in the economies and societies in transition.
Absolutely.
And that's a message of the work and
Thank you for your comments as well. It's a good perspective. Thank you. Anything else? Yes?
I had a question about, you said that in Mexican origin adults in the United States, you find this flatness.
Yeah.
You don't see any difference between first generation, second generation, and third generation?
We do, and that's this next paper that we're working on. It's beautiful for male tobacco use. You see this incredibly steep gradient for non-Hispanic whites, and then it just kind of fans down. So Mexican origin adults who are U.S. born, it's kind of here, and then Mexican born who've been here for a while, it's kind of here, and then it's almost flat for the recently arrived Mexican men. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, thinking about acculturation and gradients is a little tricky. In fact, we're calling this the imported gradients hypothesis, as if migrants like put their gradients in their suitcases with them and take them to the U.S. Or, of course, it's a population measure. But, yeah, we're looking at acculturation and also segmented assimilation hypotheses there. Thank you very much.
And last, but definitely not least, we have our final presenter. And, again, she's going to introduce herself.